All right. How's it going, guys? Welcome back.
It's been a week.
Oh, it has been a week. Like, it's been a morning, actually, very specifically. So, but before we start getting into too many things, all the crazy shit, I wanna thank John Haynes or Hayes and his guys down in West Virginia for a great show. And I wanna thank John Mizer and Andrew and his crew for a great show out in Harrisburg. Todd said he did great. We did really good down in West Virginia. It was a good time. Got to see a lot of people we love and got to hang out. And I found a new cigar place to go to in Morgantown. So yay me. I get so they have this little the people that are there have this little duck that they made that has a bulldog face that's smoking a cigar. And I have a buddy who has a Jeep, so I was like, I gotta get him this duck so he can have it for his Jeep, and he loved it. He was like, "This is so cool." He's like, "I gotta find a special place for this one." Like, yeah, let me
Yeah.
know if you need another one. I'll be down there sooner than later. So yeah, it's going like all that stuff went really well. Again, thanks everybody for being there. Thanks to those who came out to hang out. Yeah,
We were very busy. It was a good show. Everybody was pretty, I think generally, I think everybody was happy. I don't know what, I didn't hear too many people complaining too much.
right.
And not bad for the what? It was the weekend that everybody was going back to WVU at the same time.
Yeah, it was the first week of school, yeah. It's a little rough.
It was a little busy.
Yeah. So also while we're there, my Stopbox came in. I bought a new effects processor. It is a Line 6 Helix Stop XL, and it is my new favorite toy. Like, not even gonna lie. I had a doctor's appointment this morning, and then I spent so then I mowed the lawn, and then the rest of the afternoon I spent literally looking through tones to create with this thing, and like downloading tones of already made the other people had already made it uploaded, and holy crap, are some of these like really spot on, especially the Metallica ones, like they really nailed it. I after searching five or six Van Halen ones, I finally found one I like. So that was kind of cool, and I'm going over to Matt's on Monday to basically steal a whole bunch of stuff he already has pre-saved. So it's gonna be a fun time. So, on the not quite downer, but let's do the how many people watch the show and will say something to me when I tell you this. So I went to the dermatologist today to have a skin tag removed. While I'm there, not only did she remove the skin tag, which was the only part not covered under my insurance, but she sees three moles that she is concerned about. So I have biopsies sent in. Not, she's like, they're not like, holy crap, scary, need to do this right now, freaked out. But she's like, these are possibly melanoma. Like, so I was like, okay, so yeah, so I'm waiting on that. I'll be back in a couple months to go there to or about a, or a couple weeks to go there to get my follow-up and stuff. I mean the crazier part is they were on parts of my body that I can't see. Like there were moles like right above my belt line on both sides of my spine. The good part was once they numbed it up, couldn't feel a fucking thing. It was great.
Oh
I almost was like, "Can I borrow some of this for home? Like, this is great." But no more skin tags, so that's good. And but she did say most likely a new one will happen, and then like I'll keep getting them all through my life because they are genetic. And I'm like, "Great, thanks, mom." Because I'm pretty sure I got that from my mom. It also is like a thing that diabetics get a lot too, so
Yeah,
and that is
that's one of those indicators there. for
Yeah.
sure.
So yeah, hopefully if I keep my shit together, it won't affect it too hard. So fingers crossed. But
So every time you eat something bad, I have to smack you in the hand so you stop eating.
No. It's like if I were to be like, hey, I'm gonna buy like a 2-liter bottle of regular Mountain Dew, that's when you can smack me in the face. But if it's
Okay.
like, hey,
Yeah,
I'm gonna
just said
buy
you
like,
did this, so.
but if I buy like a regular 20-ouncer, don't do
That's
that because
fine. That's
there's a
in
chance that I
moderation.
might be buying it because my sugar feels low.
Yeah.
So yeah, so
That's all right.
it's not
That's different.
terrible. Yeah.
That's moderation. It's what do
But
they
this
say?
is
It's
me
everything in
educating
moderation.
you guys on how health works. And I'm a firm believer that hangry people are all diabetics because as soon as we get hangry, it's probably because our sugar's low and we need to eat. So
Fair. Well, that's anybody though. Anybody can be like that, to be fair.
yeah, but I think we
Oh
do it
yeah,
more
diabetics
often.
get worse.
We
It's
definitely do it
worse,
more
but
often. Yeah.
but
Just coming at you, all hangry.
well, since we're still kind of on the show part of it here, I did
Sure.
purchase. I'm just going to open this for the audience because we didn't get these at the mills that I can remember, or if we did, they were gone before I even in went in the store. So
I will look
I
at
figured.
that. I will look that up while you open this, because I'm curious now. I'm
I
listening.
bet you like we ordered and all the customers like pre-ordered them and they never hit the shelves because I don't remember seeing these on the shelf. And I
Or
usually
we only got
want.
like, or we only got like one.
Yeah. And I don't want to be that guy that takes the one from the other customers. I don't like doing that. Unless it's a really cool Hulk or Wolverine cover, then I'm sorry. It's yours.
Hold on.
There we go.
All right, so that's
Scissors.
Mumra.
It's
Lion
Mumbra, the
Killer.
ever-living number one. The pathogen. Yep. First issue.
Yeah, but it's a blind bag, right?
Yep. Blind bag. All right. We got. Blank cover. So. Guess I got a new blank cover for somebody to do artwork. This is incentive cover J. Mind that one. It's kind of cool.
Is number one, right?
Yeah, this is number one. Yep. This doesn't t say who did the art.
No, the store never got it. You are correct.
Okay, I thought so. Danny Earls is the cover artist.
Nice.
And oh, I love this one. This is the Virgin cover. Oh, this is the blonde back cover Y. And this is, this says this is also Danny Earle. Okay, this says main cover artist, so this is not quite. But I love it. Multiple transformations.
Nice.
And it's
That's a
it's
pretty good
virgin
one.
cover. Yeah,
Is that foil?
nice. No, it's not foil.
No,
It
it
just
looks.
has the cop. It looks like it kind of is, but it's not.
Well, it might just be how your lighting is, but
Yeah. I
okay,
like this
that's
one though.
cool.
This is probably my favorite.
I
Until
also enjoyed it.
I
Very
find
cool.
whichever artist wants to work on the blank cover and do a really badass Mumbra cover for me.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And that was $10. I paid $10 for that. So
Yeah.
I will take that all day.
Right. So we have some celebrity deaths we need to talk about, but I need to talk about Peter Cullen first, because
Well, he is the latest,
He
so
is the latest.
let's
Yeah,
start with
that
him.
was announced this morning. And so all of them are 80, which is crazy. So, like growing up, like I obviously was a big Transformers fan, and I always felt like Optimus Prime was like the other dad, right? Because he kind of was like the leader of the Transformers, the Autobots, and he always kind of came across with that dad voice and delivery and talking about stuff. And the fact that he is now gone is it's like losing a member of your family. Like if you grew up watching the original Transformers, I mean we watched him die a couple times because he died in the Transformers movie, he died on the TV show, he died in one of the Michael Bay films, I think, and then came back though. It was that one definitely hit differently than the other two bigger ones. It was
I think it
definitely one of
depends.
those things. Good.
It depends on your point of view. It's again, pop culture wise, nerd wise, yes, it was probably the most devastating out of the recent deaths. But to each of the others who have passed away this week, they all had impactful marks on pop culture, entertainment in general. Like
Right.
we lost a very big a sizable chunk of some of the most talented people of their generation.
Yeah. I mean, Peter Cullen was also like the Predator. Like he was the voice of the Predator. Like he was the clicking noise. In fact,
He
whenever
was
he
on.
was getting ready to go out to do a show, he would always get on the mic and do that before his
Okay.
panels, before his appearances.
Nice.
Yeah.
I always remember him as Eeyore on
Oh
Winnie
yeah.
the Pooh.
He
Yes.
was Eeyore for sure. He was the bad Kit on the 2000s Knight Rider. He was Car.
Oh my.
Trying to think what else he was. I'm looking through real quick to make sure I don't miss anything. It's mostly Transformers and Winnie the Pooh, and Predator.
He was Chip 'n Dale Rescue Ranger, was he? What was his name? He was the pilot with the mustache that goes nuts for cheese.
Oh my God, he was on Savage Dragon. He
Oh
was Bludgeon and Basher on Savage Dragon.
yeah. He's done so much voice. Him and like he is so iconic as a voice actor, and in the era of voice actors now, he's legend, like period. Like I don't think there's anybody who could have surpassed him with the roles that he was in
Oh, he
everything
was
he
in
did.
Gummy Bears? Fuck
Yep.
yeah.
Yeah.
He was
Pretty much
Monterey Jack.
anything from the
Yeah.
1980s into the early
You
90s, he
were thinking of
voiced.
Monterey Jack. That's who he
Monterey
that was
Jack, yes.
his main dude on Chip 'n Dale was Monterey Jack.
Yep.
There was a lot of stuff, but he was a Smurf. A bunch of Smurfs.
Pretty much the voice of the 1980s cartoons. He did. He
He
had
was in
a
Dino
role.
Riders.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Oh man, Brave Star. He was in 31 episodes of Brave Star as Dr. Watson.
Nice.
He was in DuckTales for 19 episodes as a bunch of random things. See if there's anything else. Oh, he was Captain Crabnasty on My Little Pony.
Nice.
He's in one episode of the Ghostbusters. Oh, he was Xandar in G.I. Joe.
Yep. Yeah. Like I said,
Oh man, he was
anything.
in Rainbow Bright. He was Murky
Yep.
Dismissal. Fuck
Yep.
yeah, that's
Yep.
awesome.
Like you said,
So
man, any 80s cartoon that you watched, he had a voice in.
he was Sergeant Havoc in the Rambo cartoon.
I didn't even watch that, but that's kind of funny.
Right. There's a couple different G.I. Joes. Oh, he was a GoBot. He was Pinscher. Which is, I just think, funny. He was in Sektars. He was in Dungeons and Dragons. He was Venger in Dungeons and Dragons.
Yep.
He was in Voltron for a lot. He was Corrin, Hutch, King Alfor, Commander Hawkins, a bunch of other things. He was so many voices, IMDb can't list them all, from Alvin and the Chipmunks. Man, so many. Oh, he was in Donkey. He was Mario in the Donkey Kong cartoon in the 80s. I didn't even know that that was a thing. He was in
Yep.
Dragon's Lair. Wow. Gremlins. He was in Gremlins. He was a Mogwai slash Gremlin.
Yep.
He was Sourpuss on Pac-Man. Yeah, there was a lot. He was definitely. Oh, he was also the voice of Car in the original Knight Rider as well. How about
There
that?
you go.
So. Oh, he was Red Skull, Jack Riven, the stuntman, a mugger, and a TV announcer on 26 episodes of Spider-Man from 1981 to 1982. Not the 90s one, the 80s one.
So with Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
No, the other one that was just Spider-Man.
Ah.
Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends was actually in the 70s. So, this was just Spider-Man. This was the one that had, like, I don't know if you ever watched like the Spider-Woman show, but it's similar to that, or like
Oh,
the Incredible Hulk show. That was the same era.
okay. I know which one you're talking about. All right. So he was just the latest of what's been a really rough week for celebrities.
Yeah.
Well, we lost Tim Curry yesterday. Again, iconic
Yeah.
actor, original it.
Pennywise, original Pennywise, yeah.
Pennywise,
It was
yeah.
I mean, he was Dr. Frankenfurter. He was the
Yep.
butler in Clue.
Clue.
He was
Iconic
in Three
Rocky Horror Picture
Musketeers.
Shows.
Yeah. Well, that would have been Frankenfurter. He was in a lot of cool stuff.
Yep.
And it
And
sucks because, like,
Hollywood.
he had a stroke and then he just kind of was chair ridden for a long time.
Yeah.
So.
He was struggling with a lot towards the end
Yeah.
there. And of course, Dolly Parton. We can't say enough about her, like honestly. I may not have been the biggest fan of country music, but I respected her as an artist and as a
Oh
person.
yeah. Well, now she's just up there working 9 to 5. It's fine.
Yep. We also here's someone who's been overshadowed. She actually died before everybody else. Shelley Fab pronunciation is awful. Fabares from that she was 82. You would better know her as the love interest in Coach, the TV show. So the redhead, curly-haired woman that
I think that's
was
pronounced Fabrice, actually.
Fabrice.
Yeah.
She passed away the day before Dolly Parton passed.
Yeah.
So yeah, and she
Crazy.
was, well, she hasn't been in anything since Coach. So it's
Yeah.
one of those things of after Coach, she retired and lived the rest of her life.
Yeah.
Again, long life, 82. with the exception of Hayden last week, everybody was over the age of 80, you know. So it's they lived long lives, successful careers, will always be known as long as there's media. You know, they've immortalized themselves in one way or another. And
For sure.
I don't think we'll ever forget them anytime soon.
I agree. I agree for sure. So, all right. But yeah, that is why I called this episode of the A Prime Has Fallen. So it's and if you happen to be at our waterfront store, give Chip a hug. He like Optimus Prime was like his all-time favorite character of anything. And he really had that dad vibe for him because he was a military kid. And his dad was always busy on base, so he really relied on Transformers to get him through. Like to it was like the one constant he had at all the bases. So yeah, make sure you do that. So anyway, let's talk about some comics. Good Lord. Oh, and if you guys are wondering why we're doing this early, it's because I have a dinner I got to go to tonight that I forgot
All
about.
right.
So,
Corpse Night number five. And it's starting to get kind of spicy with this here. Foy is talking to this knight. He doesn't give his name, so I just call him Strange Knight because he's just being very weird with her. And he starts telling her about, you know, historical stuff about Joan of Arc, about how, you know, France was looking for, you know, a miracle, and Joan of Arc is not that miracle. But he also said, you know, he's like, I knew your father was with the knights that took care of witchcraft and betrayers, and kind of basically like a SEAL team type deal. We do get kind of a flashback on how everything started. Apparently, while her Foy's father was doing his hunting, that's when he met his mother, who we find out is a witch. And instead of killing her like he was supposed to, they fell in love, and that's how Foy came to be. And this knight was the strange knight, is basically sitting there going, you know, I can mold you, I can help you. You know, because you're special. She's like, you're the one who brought your father back to life, because she has the talent of strength from her mother. And she basically says, well, I don't want to be, you know, used as a weapon. I'm not, you know, that's not what my father raised me to be. Well, of course, the knight hits her over the head with the hilt of the sword, throws her in a cage with a bunch of other children. And it's the creepy guy from the, what, I'm going to say issue two, where she bit him. And, you know, you don't see his hand, but I am sure if he had his glove off, you would see that she bit his finger. But basically, the kids tell her, oh, he sacrifices us for this black mass thing. And they're like, if you try to escape, they point to like this corpse of a dead kid, because he just kills the kid straight up if you try to escape. And she's like, she ends up having like this dream about her mother talking to her. Saying, yeah, you have to get out and you can save these kids. And she's like, well, mom, I don't know how to access my power. And she's like, all you have to do is do what you did before and she grabs the dead kid and she starts trying to put her power into it. And the kids, of course, are freaking out. But as Joan of Arc is standing over the funeral pyre that her fought that she put Foy's father in, the she ends up not resurrecting the child, but she's resurrecting her father, who is basically just this burn up mesh body, rising from the ashes, so to speak. And that is the end of issue five. I love this so much. It's such a good book. Very good pacing. The art is pretty good. Just love the storytelling. And I am using the song Cut the Cord by Shinedown.
Nice. All right. My first book is ROM number one, which, by the way, I
Ooh.
found out this is just a one shot. It's not actually
Oh, they're not bringing
the
it
full
back.
thing. They are, but he's going to be in Void Rivals.
Okay.
So this book starts out where he's fighting on an alien planet. He's getting his butt kicked and he got thrown into a prison with a guy that looks weirdly like a transformer. His name is Kranix, and they're trying to get out of this room, and he's like, I can get us out of here, and Kranix is like, you can't really do that. And all of a sudden he uses his carpet, which he wears like a poncho, you see it there. Carpet slides under the door and opens the door and they get out. So he's trying to save these kids. He goes into this prison, finds the kids in this dark room, and there's a giant man praying mantis guy that's like I was saving them as children for a special occasion. I love my food. It makes me happy. Blah blah blah. You're gonna die, robot. And he's like, I'm not technically a robot. I was organic once. So he cuts off his arm. Or his arm, sorry, his arm was missing earlier. His arm was missing earlier. So he tries to cut carpet. Carpet doesn't let him do that. He ends up like grabbing some chain and like wrapping it around his neck and popping his head off, which is hilarious. And then Rom steals his arm and puts it on his. Goes back, gives the kids to their parents. Is this like, what are you gonna do now? Is just like, also this, we found this. Is this yours? He's like, I'm sorry, I don't remember, but it's his gun that you see him holding there. So his memory is gone. So then he goes off and does other adventures, and he ends up in Void Rivals. This book was a fun, quick read. If you like, if you liked original ROM, you're gonna like this. Kirkman did a good job of writing this. At least I thought he did. So definitely give it a check. And my song for this, because ROM has that one red eye, I'm using Judas Priest's Electric Eye for this. It
Nice.
also kind of makes sense too if you know what the song's about, so.
Yeah. All right, we got Wolverine number 26. Wolverine and Nightcrawler are playing cards. And they're discussing like him getting his the metal back on his claws, and he's debating on doing it, like completing it, even though he's basically back to normal, but he's kind of in, like debating whether or not, having the claws back to normal, if that's a good thing. And they're sitting there just kind of having a philosophical discussion like normal. because that's what they do when they get together. And Nightcrawler gets a phone call with a date. Wolverine's like, go ahead. He's like, I'm just going to do some. He goes outside doing some outside training, and he gets caught up in this purple whirlpool of smoke. And he arrives in what looks like feudal Japan. And this is the dimension where Red Hair, which is the knight looking guy there, the feudal
Yeah, again,
Japan
the right.
style. And this is where he lives. And he kind of informs Wolverine that Adamantine is back, but he's only going to the other versions of Wolverine and other dimensions and messing with them, since they banned him from Wolverine's dimension. So apparently there was a warlord that Red Hair has been feuding with, and Adamantine is aligning with this warlord. Well, of course, Wolverine and Red Hair take down this warlord, but before they could take care of Adamantine, it leaves the warlord, and then turns into a giant sword and cuts into another dimension. This dimension is like the prehistoric period dimension, where that is Boneclaw, and that is the kind of like the beast looking version of Wolverine there with the blue hair in the middle on the cover. And they start, discussing how they're going to take down Adamantine, and lo and behold, bursting through a wall of ice is a giant golden adamantine covered mammoth, which looks totally badass at the very end. And that is the end of this issue. I chose for this one, since this is going to be an interdimensional travel, Planet Caravan by Black Sabbath.
Okay. I dig it. All right. My next book is Mask Origins.
Ooh.
This book, it was okay. So Hound the Autobot is found by Clutch, and he's damaged, and he can't transform, and Clutch brings him to Matt Tracker. And Tracker fixes him, and while he's fixing him, Ravage busts through the window, and they have a big fight with Ravage. And Hound kind of like throws him into a window, and then or through a wall, and then he shoots at him. He runs away, and Tracker's like, "You should come help the Joes." Blah blah blah. And then you see Optimus Prime walks in, and you find out that Mirage and Bulkhead have been basically they were found in like 50 years earlier by the military, and they've basically been dissecting them the whole time. Optimus is not exactly happy, but they did find an entire giant surplus of Energon. So then you meet Miles Mayhem, who's working for General Flag. Mayhem is actually the bad guy and runs Viper in Mask. Him and Flag have a fight, and he ends up, getting escorted out and then killing a whole bunch of people on his way out and getting into a blue helicopter and getting out of there. Later, Tracker is in his car. He's trying to find or he then runs or meets with Flag, and Flag tries to recruit him again, and he's like, no. And then Scrap Iron shows up with his big freaking truck that Matt the Tracker designed. So they get into a chase, and Tracker realizes that Matt's gonna try to use its own weapons against him, so he's just like, nope. So he changes the missiles to go back and blow up Scrap Iron. Doesn't quite get him all the way. But Clutch and Hound show up to help out, and that's pretty much how it ends. Like it ends with Tracker being like, "I'm done running. I'm gonna take care of this myself." I thought it was a good book. It wasn't super great, but it was definitely on par with the first issue of Mask that they put out. Josh Williams is really crushing it on this. So I'm gonna put the song. Oh shit, I had it. Hold on. I'm gonna use Dragula from Rob Zombie for this. Because of how much racing was in this book in general, it was awesome.
Nice. And here we have Clive Barker's Hellraiser number one. This is basically just rebooting all the original stories from the original Hellraisers to kind of promote their upcoming is it Kickstarter? Are they kickstarting this or is it they're releasing it straight up. But it's a whole set of all Clive Barker's original Hellraiser stories. So it was good. I mean it definitely you could tell the art is from the 80s with the style. And this had two stories in it. The original is basically, or the I should say the first one was see a girl being held in a farm, and the guy who basically the kidnapper taps on the glass prison that she's being held in. There's the cube, and Cube opens up, and there's Pinhead and the rest of the Cenobite crew. Basically, kills her, sacrificed her, the usual. Very, very traditional Hellraiser. But this was the beginning of Pinhead wanting to become human again, where he says he's experienced everything you can experience in his position. And he wants to be human again. And the Leviathan was like, well, who are you going to replace you? And we don't hear who he suggests is going to be replaced. But the Leviathan is amused. And they're like, then go forth, become flesh, and get your. Replacement. And then we see Kristen Cotton, the original girl from the original Hellraiser series. She's more grown up now, definitely not the young teenage girl from the movies. She has a solid relationship with this author, while she's dealing with, the trauma that she dealt with in the first two Hellraisers, I'm assuming this is after the first two Hellraiser movies, with bottles of pills and her, like, you see a picture of her standing in front of the sanitarium slash asylum. And the kidnapper, whose name is Samuel, who does the he does the human. Running around. He slides a letter into her mailbox, and that is the end of that first story. The second story is a little bit more confusing, definitely about a old man who escaped the Hellraiser dimension, and gets teleported back into the real world in an actual asylum. You find out this is a human's he's 160 some years old. And apparently, like, he must have been like some sort of big shot as far as a like a mafia head of a mafia family or a well-connected human being. But it seemed very confusing. It was a hard to read because I had to read it three times and I still didn't get it completely. I know the it's all centered around the old man, his escape, so to speak, where he cuts off his own leg and uses his own body as weaponry against these monsters that the Leviathan has sent through the cube to get him back. And you don't see actual Cenobites in this one. This is more like the dog creatures, the more demonic looking beasts. And the chains look a little weird on the in this too. The art is not my favorite in this second story, but it's fun. For those who probably already have the originals, this was fun. This was a fun little read. I'm sure the when Boom releases all the original Clive Barker stuff in one big volume, it's going to be a big seller. And I
Agreed.
chose Ozzy Osbourne's version of Hellraiser, the song.
Nice. All right, my last book is Hack Slash Mercy Sparks, A Slice of Hell. This is from the Devil's Due 25th Anniversary series. This is a crossover event between Hack Slash and Mercy Spark. So Cassie's in a starts out where Cassie's in a professional, and she basically tells the priest, "Hey, just so you know, you're gonna die because you let that girl or that guy had get killed because he was sleeping with a nun." And then the guy's dead body comes back to kill him with a giant flaming sword. So Cassie and Vic have to, or Vlad, sorry, Cassie and Vlad have to take him out. They do. So they have this giant throwdown in the church, and they end up killing the guy by dropping a giant crucifix on his head, which is awesome. And then they cremate him, and they basically they like always they take all the shit from the battle and they go sell it to a pawn shop. Then you have Hank, who works with Mercy, who wants to buy the sword, but the card that God gave them, like the bank card, doesn't have a pin. So he calls Mercy, who's beating up a henchman, or beating up a henchman to tell him or to ask, "Hey, do you have the pin?" He's like, "No, I gotta go." And then she finishes her fight to take down a rogue angel, because that's what she does. Then it cuts back to Cassie, who's working as a waitress, and she's like, "Hey, we need some money. We need more money. Blah blah blah." And then you see that somebody else comes in to and wants the sword from the pawn shop guy, but Hank already bought it, so they kill the pawn shop guy. And Hank brings the sword and all this stuff to Mercy. Mercy's like, "Yeah, I know what that sword is. I have one tattooed on my back." And he's like, "Well, you know, if you'd like me to see you naked, I would have already seen that." And she's like, "Yeah, don't that it doesn't stop there." So anyway, pawn shop guy's dead. And both groups are now looking into it. So you go back to the church, or sorry, back in the church, the priest gets a visit by one of the other angels called Nemat. Mercy and Hank are at a bar, and the Hank goes to take a shit, and while he's taking a shit, the dead nun from the dead nun who was sleeping with the dude who already came through, is now breaking through the wall, trying to kill him to get the sword back. So Mercy turns into a daemon, and Cassie and Vlad are like, "What are you? And we're probably gonna have to kill you." And she's like, "No, that's not how this is gonna work." And eventually, they realize they're on the same side, and they both take out the demon nun. We'll call her the demon nun. Well, it's a long fight. It's actually a very long and intense fight, and it's a lot of fun. But she basically like crushes him with a motorcycle, and then Cassie comes out with like a chainsaw, and Vlad's punching and all kinds of brutality and awesome things from Devil's Due right here. And then the angel shows up and is basically like, "I'm gonna take this sword by." So then they're all kind of like friends, like Hank Burns, Vlad, like a mixed CD, and Mercy like pours whiskey in her coffee and has a and the waitress is looking at her. She's like, "What? I swear." She's like, "Motherfucker's always judging. If it was a mimosa, no one would bat an eye. How do you guys even know I have a liver anyway?" I thought that was pretty funny. So they just kind of like are like, "All right, cool. You're cool. We're gonna go on our way. You go on your way." And that's kind of how it ended. And it was a lot of just ridiculous violence. So I'm using Bodies by Drowning Pool for this because of how much violence and how many bodies hit the floor. So, but it was super good. Super good. So,
Good, good.
yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much it though. I mean, I don't have anything really else. I mean, Lanterns episode 2 was very good. If you guys want a little spoiler action on that, spoiler, stop, pause, come back to it later. So we find out that the big bad is actually most likely going to be a Manhunter, which is cool. If you guys don't know what the Manhunters are, look them up. It's pretty crazy. They were basically the Green Lanterns before the Green Lanterns started, but then they thought that the Guardians were doing a bad job, so they decided to try to fix the universe, and that's not how that works. There's that part. We see Sinestro finally. There's a really awesome scene where Hal sends John back to his house to get his suit or to get his lantern, and John like opens his closet and it's just a bunch of Green Lantern suits. So he takes one of those too and brings that with him. It was really good, man. Like, I'm really liking the show. Like, I don't know why I like it so much, but it is very good. And this week's episode of Strange New Worlds might possibly be the best one of the season, when it comes to action and adventure. Last week's, though, I don't remember if I talked about it, but it was the episode where they all got turned into puppets. So it was very much like a Smile Time deal. Like, but everybody but Spock got turned into a puppet. So if you remember the Angel episode Smile Time, check out Star Trek Strange New Worlds from last week. It was really, really hilarious. So yeah. So other than that, we have the Warehouse 40 cent 40 hours of 40 cents coming up in a couple weeks. Make sure you guys go check that out. It's gonna be a lot of fun. I will be there for a little bit on Friday and a little bit on Sunday. It's gonna be redonks. So
Yeah. For those who haven't seen it yet, I have not seen it yet either. I didn't purchase it because you can only get it digitally now. It's not on DVD or Blu-ray, and it's not even on HBO Max because I checked. The Batman Nightfall came out, and if you want to see parts of it, YouTube, they did like Warner Brothers did put like the first like 10 minutes. The intro. And if that 10 minutes is all that I see of that movie until I get it in my hands, they are definitely, DC animation is definitely back on point.
Cool.
It looked really good. Of course, they're doing multiple stories in the same movie, so there are going to be some differences here and there. But Jean-Paul Azrael looked badass. Like the first 10 minutes is Azrael going ham on these child traffickers, and ooh, is
Nice.
it brutal?
Nice.
Is exactly how I want my Azrael. I'm looking
Good.
forward to seeing that. So if when I watch it, I will do a spoiler over there. But so far, from what I've seen, it looks really good. And everybody who I've seen on the internet that's made comments about it are like, this is what should be for every storyline period, is this kind of effort and this kind of creative across the board. They're like, it is really, really good. So good
Right.
on DC for coming back and giving us some good animated goodness. Now,
Nice.
if Marvel can do that, I'm down with it. Still waiting on another Hulk versus Wolverine somewhere in there. And so many other storylines I think we would enjoy much more on the animated front.
We will see about that one.
Yeah. Well, there is the rumor mill that they're going to stop doing live action series now, and they're just going to go straight to animation, which I have no issue with per se, depending on the character. I think there's several characters I would love to see animated. Give me an animated Moon Knight series. I'd be down.
Yeah.
Animated Ghost Rider, doesn't care. I don't care which Ghost Rider, but I think that would be like anything with that would take like an insane amount of CGI. Just animate it and put out a really good movie.
Right.
Even if it's directly to Disney Plus, it would still do better than I think a poorly done series that people are scratching their heads over.
I agree. Oh yeah, the only other thing is if you're into the Anne Rice universe and you don't want to pay for AMC to watch her universe play out, Talamasca, which was the only one that did not have its own book, premiered on Netflix this year or last week. I've watched most of it. I'm down to like two more episodes. It's very, very good. But man, does that like have it has nothing to really do with any of the other stuff that goes on, except that you get to see how the Talamasca works a little more. If you don't know who the Talamasca are, they're kind of like
Watchers.
the Watchers in Highlander, kind of.
Yeah. They have the same rules as they record and they're not
Don't
supposed to
get involved. Yeah.
interfere. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of they could wear out like I guess like the Watcher like a Watu would be kind of like that too,
Yeah.
but he interferes all the fucking time. So
She
but yeah
definitely picked
they
that up from Marvel. I will put that out there that she was a Marvel fan, and she's like, yeah, we need a section of humans to just watch. So
No,
basically
I
like that.
mean I don't know. I would imagine she thought of that already. Like a kind of like an observer kind of way,
Yeah.
or the observer some fringe. There's another way to look at it. Yeah, so it's definitely an interesting thing, but definitely check it out. All right, that's all the time we got today, guys. Thanks again for watching and support your local comic shop if it's ours. Cool. If you see us at the shops, definitely say hi. We always appreciate it. Yeah, that's about it. Catch you later.
Yes.